we started Hilchos Shabbos. Last week, basically, we completed Simur Reishon and Gimel. We didn't read every single line, but we covered the basics of Shehiyah and HaChazor. Maybe we'll skip till Simur Reishon Samach. All of these shurim this year are Lezeb and Nikmas, Rab Chaim, Rab Avraham, Arbisfeld. A month ago in the beginning of the corona. Simen Reish Samach, we spoke a little bit about Kibbutz B'Yoneg. The Pasuk in Yeshaya describes the Karasa L'Shabbos Donig L'Kdosh Hashem L'Chubad. And the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, he starts off one of the Prokim, that on Shabbos there are four mitzvahs, two in the Chumash, Kib, Zohar B'Shamar. Zohar is a mitzvah, Seseh L'Hazikir, to mention Kiddush, they recite Kiddush. The Shomer is to be a Shomer Shabbos, not to do Malach. The Shomer is a Lois essay. The Shomer is a Zohar is an essay. The Shomer is a Lois essay. He writes, in addition to the two mitzvahs that appear in Chumash and the Aseres Adibrais, you have the two mitzvahs, Shnayim, Shenis Parshu, Aydei Hanavim, the two mitzvahs of Kibbutz V'Yoneg that appear in the Navi. Rav Soloveitchik suggested some sefer in the Tshuva has something along the same lines. Soloveitchik suggested maybe the word Shenis Parshu doesn't mean that they were formulated by the Navi, that they were mentioned by the Navi. Maybe it means that Navi Yeshaya was mefarish that Kibbutz V'Yoneg are both included in Zohar. Shama means not to be Mechal Shabbos. Shama is a lo sesei, not to do malocha. In Zohar is an essay to make Shabbos Shabbos Dik. So it means Lahazikir, to mention Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos. And perhaps also included in the essay of Zohar is the Kibbutz V'Yoneg. What exactly, what is Kibbutz, what is Zoneg? So the Aruch HaShulchan tries to give a distinction. One is Eptis Ruchnias, one is Gashmias, but Rav Soloveitchik used to say over the Bir Hagra. Bir Hagra doesn't appear here in Hilchos Shabbos, but rather in the end of Hilchos Yontif, the very end of one of the last simonim in Hilchos Yontif. So the Bir Hagra writes, Kibbutz refers to all the hachanas that one does in advance of Shabbos. And it means the fact that you enjoy the pleasure on Shabbos. So the fact that you vacuum the rug and you set the table and you put up the tollant and you take a shower and you get dressed up in advance of Shabbos, that's Kibbutz. Then the fact that you enjoy the delicious food and you enjoy the clean table and the clean house and everything is neat, that's called Einig. Hadlokas HaNeris, the Rambam has both. Hadlokas HaNeris, you should really light the Neris on Erev Shabbos, not only because it's a Malach on Shabbos. What about on Yom Tov? Many women have the practice that on Yom Tov, they wait till the husband comes home from Shul, and then they ben shlicht on Leil Yom Tov. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, like those poskim, his tradition was, Pitzel of Petterburg has a tshuva about this in the Pri Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok Blaser, and others write like this. Rav Soloveitchik thought that more correct is that even on Yom Tov, it's more correct to ben shlicht on Erev Yom Tov, not to wait till Leil Yom Tov, because Hadlokas HaNeris is described by the Rambam as both Kibbutz and Onig. You can do the Hachana in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov, by Hadlokas HaNeris, Mebod Yom. And then you enjoy, then the Onig is that you enjoy the fact that the house is lit up, and you can see the food, and you won't stumble al Oetzim al Abonim, and you won't trip on anything in the dark room. So it's both Kibbutz and Onig. The Beis HaLevi has a Dvar Torah. He tries to say that the Broche on Hadlokas HaNer is only recited because of the Kibbutz, because of the fact that you're doing the Hachana B'Bod Yom. If it would just do, it could just be Oneg, you wouldn't have said a Broche. This is very questionable, because we do it all the time. Whenever you have Yom Tov, Shechol is B'Matzoi Shabbos. So you wait till after Tzeis HaKochavim of Matzoi Shabbos, then it's Leil Yom Tov, Vadai Leil Yom Tov after Tzeis Kham, then you bench licht, and you do say a Broche. So it happens happens every so often that Yom Tov falls out on Matzoi Shabbos. We do say a Broche. We don't like Mibod Yom. So you only say, you're saying the Broche only on the Onig, not on the Kibbutz. That's a question. When you light the Neiris on Erev Shabbos, do you say a Broche or not? We assume that you say a Broche. Tosis in the beginning of Bama Madlikin has two opinions. One opinion in Tosis says that a bracha is not recited, and they bring the raya from the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara says there, "Ei madlikim the itrom." If they quote out Shabbos, what does it mean? Itrom, when it burns, has an awful smell. So it's not quite Shabbos. The person's going to eat the meal, then he's going to run away. He's not going to want to sit in the room with the light. So what's so bad? So he'll run away. So he won't sit where the light is. So Gemara says, one of the Amoraim says, Shani Yomer, my opinion is, Hadlokas Haner b'Shabbos is Chayva. Means the house has to be lit up. So from the fact that the Gemara uses the Lashon Chayva, some Rishonim HaMedayik, Chayva as opposed to mitzvah, implies that it's something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. Because the Gemara in the beginning of Kol HaBasar in Chulin draws a contrast between Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Acharonim. Mayim Rishonim means if you plan to eat bread, so you have to wash until it's your dime. So the Gemara says, Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, and you say a bracha, and Mayim Acharonim is chayva. So Taisa's there, on that daf from Kol HaBasar, beginning of Kol HaBasar, Taisa says, chayva means something that you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. Let's say when you salt the flesh, you don't say a bracha. That's not a mitzvah. Salt the flesh to remove the dam. Let's say when they trade with the flesh, they remove the chute chelev, or the chute dam, they cut out the big veins. The salting only helps on the blood and the capillaries. It doesn't help on the blood and the big veins or the big arteries. So for that, you have to yank out, you have to rip out, you have to remove the big arteries and the big veins. So no bracha is recited when you trade with the flesh, when you remove the giranosha, and when you remove, so you don't say a bracha when you salt the flesh. You don't say a bracha when you trade with the flesh. You're not doing a mitzvah. You're doing something when you to avoid violation of the Yisr of Adam and the Yisr Chelev and the Yisr giranosha. You don't say a bracha. So that's what the Gemara says. Ma'im Rishayim mitzvah with the Rabbanim. So you say a bracha. Ma'im Achrayim b'chayva. It's something that you have to do, but you don't recite a bracha. How come you don't recite a bracha? The Tosfos says, because the Gemara explains there, why did the Chachamim introduce Mayim Achronim? The person may have dipped his finger into some Melech Sedomis, and he may rub his eyes with his fingers, so he may rub the salt in his eyes, and that'll be detrimental to his eyesight, to rub the salt into your eyes. So that's why the Chachamim made a takana that you should wash Mayim Achronim. So the Mayim Achronim is really not to violate v'nishmarta miyodah nafshin sechem. People, hanusham malach v'agub shalach, our body doesn't belong to us, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only are we not permitted to commit suicide, we're not permitted, he's not allowed to cause himself to get sick. He's not allowed to rub his fingers with the salt into his eyes, and they harm his eyes. So the Mayim Achronim is in order to avoid violation of the din of v'nishmarta miyodah nafshin sechem. When a person shaves with an electric shaver, he doesn't say a bracha. When a person goes to eat a kosher meal, he doesn't say a bracha. When you eat matzah, when you eat mara, you say amoitzi b'chazanenin, and then you say shekirishan b'tzatzvan alachilas matzah, because that's a mitzvah. But when you're doing something in order to avoid violation of an avera, that's the klal that the Rosh has in the beginning of Ksubis. The Rosh wonders, why do we say a bracha under the chuppah? Since when do you say a bracha on avoiding violation of an aveira? So the Rosh says, Anachanami, it's not a normal brichas hamitzvah, it's really a brichas hashevach. So even though you start off hashikrishana bin sosa vitzivanu al harois, it starts off at tzivanu, it starts off, sounds like it's a brichas hamitzvah. So the Rosh is quoting the Tosfos, it's not a brichas hamitzvah. It's really a brichas shevach. But we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us a different kind, an institution of marriage. Lumas Olam also have. So what are we saying? Kedushanah b'mitzvahs v'tzivanu. Menachem also have an institution of marriage. But they don't have erisin and nisuin. And they have a different list of arayas. So we say, Shekedushanah b'mitzvahs sov, He gave us mitzvahs. But we have a different form of institution of marriage. Tzivanu al harayas is a different list of arayas. Some of the arayas, let's say you're not allowed to marry your sister, you're not allowed to marry your daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. These arise because of marriage, only a Jewish marriage. Isha shall Yisrael create such an erva. V'asolanos harusis v'italanos harusus lano. Erisin with nisun is only on a Jewish issues. Isha's b'nei noyach, the Gemara says, there is no erisin in nisun. They only have kedushat bia, bulas bal yesh lahem, nichnas aluchup v'lai nivala ein lahem. The Umasalim don't have the same kind of issues that we have. That's what the Rosh has the klal. You only say a bracha when you're about to perform a mitzvah saseh. If you're about to do something to avoid violation of an avera, no bracha is recited. So that's what many Rishonim say. Other Rishonim say, you do say a bracha when you wash mayim achronim. Because the Gemara gives two reasons for Mayim Acharonim. One is because Melech Sodom is, you shouldn't rub it into your eyes, so that's only to avoid violation of an Aveira. Nishmarta Miyodah Nafshin Sechem, Yishamet Pen V'yal, is always a loisessi. So Nishmarta Miyodah Nafshin Sechem is an isri, not allowed to cause harm to your body. But the Gemara says, that Mayim Acharonim is based on, not the Gemara, the Tosfos quotes such it's a Gemara Brachos, I think, V'yis Kaddishtem, V'yisim Kaddoshim, V'yis Kaddishtem, Eile Mayim Rishonim, V'yisim Kaddoshim, Eile Mayim Acharonim. So the Gemara says, you wash Mayim Acharonim as a hachana for Birchas HaMazon. That's like going to mikveh. A person goes to mikveh to bring karbonas, to enter the Beis HaMikdash. You do say a bracha when you go to mikveh. That's a mitzvah, lehi toher. So here also, to wash Mayim Acharonim, k'shein shemezuham, posol avoyda kach yadayim zoham is psulus lebracha. Just like a korban that's mezuham, an old sick animal, or a kohen who looks old and feeble. So a kohen who's a mezuham, he has a bad odor and so on, it's not right that he should be makar karbonis. And if the korban is an old sickly animal, it's not a trefa, it's not going to be an avela, but it's sickly. So kishem shemzuam pasal avoyda kach yadam zoham is psulos lebrach. So other rishonim hold you do say brach on mayim achronim, because that's not the only reason that you shouldn't rub the mayim melach sedomis into your eyes. It's not only because you don't want to violate v'nishmartam yodah nafshin sechem. It's like being tovel in a mikveh. It's a achana for the brichas hamazon. So some rishonim hold you do say brach on mayim achronim. But Tosfos on that daf in the beginning of the first daf in Kol HaBosar, Tosfos quotes the Rishonim and say, no brachas recited on Mayim Acharonim. And that's why the Gemara says, Mayim Rishonim mitzvah, Mayim Acharonim chayva. Chayva means something you have to do, but it's not a mitzvah. Even with the Rabbana, it's not a mitzvah, and there's no brachas on mitzvah recited. So here in the beginning of Bamei Madlikin, so the Gemara has a lashon, Sha'ani Yomer, I think Abai says, that Hadlokas Haner, B'Shabbos, chayva. So Tosfos quotes one opinion. Chayva means something you have to do, but no bracha is recited. That's the connotation of chayva. What's the logic? That's the raya from the Gemara, because the Gemara calls it chayva, and that's what the word chayva means in the context of Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Acharonim. What's the logic why a bracha should not be recited? So Tosfos says, we do so many hachonas, like quote Shabbos. You take a shower, you vacuum the rug, you set the table, you put up the cholent, you make the beds, everything is neat. You'd get dressed before Shabbos. These are all hachanas that you do in advance to make the whole house beautiful. Everything should have a Shabbosic atmosphere. No bracha is recited when you put up the cholent and when you vacuum the rug. So manishtana, why should hadlokas on there is be different from the others? And then the Tosfos says, no, the practice is that we do say a bracha. In fact, it's so mikubal by us that you say a bracha. In Yiddish, he said, we're going to bench lift. We're going to say the bracha. That's built into the expression. To bench and lech means to recite the bracha over hadlokas haneris. So Rabbi Natan asked, but why is hadlokas haneris different from all the other hachanis? So the Tosfos quotes the Rabbi Natan there in the first daf in Bamei Madlikin, and there are more quotes this lahalacha in the siman about hadlokas haneris, that if someone would come and vacuum the rug, the elves came and they vacuumed the rug. So do I have a mitzvah to throw sand on the rug and vacuum the rug again? The rug is clean. I don't have to. Someone came, the elves came, and they set the table. Do I have to stare everything and set the table again? No, it's all set. I was going to go put up a cholent for Shabbos, and someone came and they brought everything from the Amot, everything already made. And they put it on the fire, they put everything. So there's no mitzvah to go make my own cholent. It's here already. Everything is ready already. Mashiach came, the one exception to the rule is hadlokas haneris. Even though by us, let's say, the lights are on all day long, when it comes Erev Shabbos, the Ramah quotes the Tosfos, you have to turn out the lights, make the room dark, and then put on the lights again, l'shem Shabbos. That's what the Ramah quotes, l'halacha. You have to turn out the lights. You can't be madlokas haneris when the whole room is flooded with light. That's what the Gemara has an expression, shraga b'tihara ma'ayahani. If you light candles at high noon, tihara means when the sun is shining. When high noon, you're going to light candles. That's not called hadlokas haner. Hadlokas haner means you're illuminating the house, illuminating the room. So if the room is flooded with lights, what are you just lighting another two candles? So you have to turn out all the lights. That's what Takanas Chacham and Rabbeinu Tam says. This is a ma'aseh mitzvah that has to be done the Kol Shabbos, even if you don't really need it, even though the whole room is all lit up. This is a special takana. You have to turn out the lights, and turn on all the lights l'shem Shabbos. Chacham Avadya quotes, Tosfos says that, where does it say? Where does it say that a bracha is recited on Hadlakas on there? One opinion of Tosfos says no bracha is recited. So the Rabbi Natam says that we do benchlecht, you do say a bracha. Is there any mocker? So Tosfos says it's a Yerushalmi. So the commentaries say we don't have such a Yerushalmi. There is no such Yerushalmi. And they suggest that maybe it's not really a Yerushalmi. Maybe Tosfos uses that expression loosely. Maybe they don't mean it's a Talmud passage in the Gemara, Talmud Yerushalmi. Maybe they mean outside sources, other than the Bavli, they'll sometimes refer to as Yerushalmi. So maybe they meant it's in Tshuvas HaGadim. In the Tshuvas HaGadim, it does say like that, that you do recite a bracha when you light the Neris, L'Kovet Shabbos. So some historians have a suggestion that the bracha was instituted in days of the Gaonim because they were fighting against the Karoim. The Karaites, we know, mistranslated the Pasuk. They didn't accept Torah Shabbat Peh tradition. So they mistranslated the Pasuk, L'Sevar Esh B'chol Mosh V'Sechem. So you're not allowed to have any lights on in your house on Friday night. When you would walk in the street and there would be lights on, you would know he's an Orthodox Jew who follows the tradition of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So it would be dark in the Jewish home. There's mezuzah, but it's dark. So you know that they were Karoim. The Karoim hold, you're not allowed to leave the lights on. On Friday night, the meal would be warm, even by the Karaites, because they warmed it up on Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos morning, by the Karaim, there would be no way to have warm food. So that's why the Baal HaMor has a line that's quoted in Magen Avraham and Hilchos Shabbos, that whoever doesn't eat warm food on Shabbos morning, either warm chalent, or warm soup, or warm a cup of coffee, a tea, something, tzorch b'dika achrav, you have to check, maybe he's an apikoros. Maybe he belongs to the Katar Karaim. Hold the principle that you're not allowed to leave any fires on in the house. So that's what some historian had this suggestion, that maybe the bracha and hadlakas haneris didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. Maybe it's only instituted, maybe it's only formulated in the days of the Gaonim. That's the earliest sources we have, is in the Tshuvas HaGaonim. And they instituted it because they were fighting against the Karaim. So they wanted to demonstrate to the public, not only do we hold that it's permissible to light Neiris and Erev Shabbos and leave them burning, it's a mitzvah and you should say a bracha also. Today, the attitude is, for many centuries, that we don't make up any new brachas. The Gemara says, Anshe Knesset HaGedolah was at the beginning of the Baisheni period. That was a group of Chachamim that consisted of 120 Chachamim, and amongst them were Behem Kam and Nevi'im. Several of them were Nevi'im. Behem Tiknu LeYisrael, they made the brachas and the tefillas and kiddush and abdallah and everything in the siddur by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Then the Gemara says, Mikam Yelech, after the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, you don't formulate any new brachas, because the pasuk says, Mi Malo Gros Hashem Yashmiel Kol Tehilos, Mi Roy Lemalo Gros Hashem, who is worthy that he has the right to compose a bracha, Mi Shiru Yashmir Kol Tehilos, Mishi Yochel Hashmir Kol Tehilos. One who knows, has Ruach HaKodesh, he understands what's proper to praise, how is it proper to praise HaKodesh Baruch Hu. You have to add, that's what Rab Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Nefesh HaChaim. Why does the Gemara, Rab Soloveitchik used to quote this in the name of the Nefesh HaChaim? Why does the Gemara have the Loshen? Anshei Knesset HaGedolah consisted of 120 Chachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them Kama Nevi'im, and they were the ones who tiknu the Nusach HaBrocha and the Kiddush and the tefillas and so on. Why do they have to say Behem Kam and Avim? Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner says to be able to compose tefillas and brachas, you have to have a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh to know what's acceptable to say, what's not. That's what the Gemara says, that a farmer will praise the king. The farmer has no hasogas of money, so say the king is so rich, he has $100 in his bank account. $100? Poor people have $100 in the bank. He has billions of dollars in his bank account. What do you mean he has $100? So we're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, you don't have a Behem Kam and Avim. You don't know how to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what the Gemara says. Mikam Yelech, after the Tekuf of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, also Lezapa B'Shvach HaShamot. You're not allowed to add any new brachas. So it's already many generations we don't add brachas. But in the days of the Goyim, somehow they the Rosh in the beginning of Ksubas quotes in the days of the Gaonim, when a boy would marry a girl who was getting married for the first time, and he would, after the Biri Shaina, he would see Dam Besulim, so the Gaonim introduced the bracha that you recite when you found the Dam Besulim. We don't say that bracha. Many brachas like that, that were introduced in the days of the Gaonim, and we, a lot of times, sometimes we do say, sometimes we don't. And also, the Yavkeh was also introduced in the days of the Gaonim. Right. So that's questionable whether it's proper to recite those brachas or not. But that's what some historians suggest. Maybe the bracha on Hadlokas Neir Shabbos was instituted in the days of the Gaonim because they were fighting against the Karaim. The Gaonim were fighting against the Karaim. And they want to emphasize that there's nothing wrong with Hadlokas Haneris. Not only is it permissible, it's a mitzvah, and it's kedai to say bracha. It's interesting, Chacham Ovadia has in his Chubis that there were some Sfaradish communities in the Middle East, by the real Sfaradim, that they would only say bracha lahadik neshal Shabbos. On Erev Yontet, they would not say bracha. But he doesn't give any explanation why. Why should it make a difference? So if he say like this, it makes sense. Maybe the bracha was only instituted in days of the Gaonim because they were fighting against the Karaim. And the Karaim on Yom Tov would be Madlik Neiris. That's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah Shebichsav, they believe in. It says, Achash Yachal Achal Nevish Ulevato Yosel Lachem. Amalach Hazel Achal Nevish Yikandu. So maybe since they would also have fires on Yom Tov, just on Shabbos they wouldn't have fire on Yom Tov. They would have. So maybe there was no need for the bracha on Hadlokas Haneiris on Yom Tov. But our practice is that we say bracha both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. On Yom Kippur, it's machlokes the mechaber and the ramot. When you do hadlokas haneris on Yom Kippur, because in Perek Mokim Shenagu, the fourth Perek in Sochim, the Mishnah states that the hadlokas haneris erev Yom Kippur depends on the minig amokim. Some mekaymes the minig is that the bedavke do light neris. Some mekaymes minig is you don't light neris. Why? The takonas hachachamim of hadlokas haneris was only made for Shabbos and Yom Tov. It was never made for Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur there's no meal. So the main inyan of Hadlokas Haneris is Hadlokas Memokam Achila. If you can't light Memokam Achila, so second best you light in another room. But the Ikar Takana was that you should enjoy the meal. The Gemara says in the last Perek and Yuma that blind people who can't see the food don't enjoy the food as much as the people who do see the food. When you see the food and the coloring of the food and your mouth starts to develop saliva, so then you enjoy the food better. If it's dark in the room, you can't see, then you won't enjoy the food as much. I think the Shach writes in Simin Shinhei in Yeridaya that the meaning is that you don't do Pidyon HaBen Balayla, you only do Bayom. So they quote around 5-6 different reasons. Every pasuk has a different reason why the minig is that you don't do Pidyon HaBen Leil Lamed Aleph. Why do you wait till Yom Lamed Aleph? So the Shach says because the minig is that you have a party together with the Pidyon HaBen, because it's so secular, you just give over a couple of dollars to the Kohen. It doesn't look like a mitzvah. So, all right, so we say a bracha over it. But the whole thing is, you say two brachas, say Shachyanu also. Say a Pidyon HaBen, you say Shachyanu. So we want to enhance the mitzvah to look a little more like a ceremony. So we have a whole meal, and in the middle of the meal, you do the Pidyon HaBen. After you say a mitzvah, and you start eating a little bit, then you have the Pidyon HaBen in the middle. So the Shach says that since the minig is that you throw a party to enhance the chashivas of the Pidyon HaBen, to give it more tekes, more ceremony, and at nighttime it's dark and you can't see the food, and the people enjoy food better if they see it. So that's why the meaning developed that you only do the Pidyon HaBen Bayom. You don't do the Pidyon HaBen Balayla. On rare occasions, we would recommend to do the Pidyon HaBen Balayla, but usually we don't. Usually we don't. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, has a humorous tshuva that the parents invited a kohen to come do the Pidyon HaBen, and they didn't know that you're supposed to have Pidyon HaBen 2 days after the baby is born. It means 4 weeks later and 2 days later. Let's say a baby's born on Monday. So you do the Pidyon HaBen 4 weeks later. 4 weeks later, let's say a baby's born on Monday, so 4 weeks later on Sunday will be 28 days. So then Monday, 4 weeks later, will be 29 days. And Yom Lamed is Tuesday, and Yom Lamed Aleph is going to be Wednesday. So there's a machlokes hatanoim and the Mishnah b'chayrus and yesh b'char. And we pass, can you do pinyin aben starting from Yom Lamed Aleph? So it's always 2 days after with the day that the baby was born. Baby was born on Monday. So pinyin aben is going to be on a Wednesday. 2 days later, but 4 weeks later, and 2 days after. So what happened was, the parents didn't know, so they invited everyone to come. They had a catered affair. They invited everyone. The Kohen came on Tuesday night. Kohen came on Tuesday night, and it's supposed to be Wednesday. The meaning is that they invited everyone to come late Tuesday afternoon, thinking you're going to do the Pinyan Ben on Tuesday. That's usually the meaning. You start by Yom, and then you finish the meal at night. You always do Pinyan Ben late in the afternoon. And then the Kohen asked, when was the baby born? So they said, on Monday. So he's supposed to do the Pinyan Ben on Wednesday, not supposed to be on Tuesday. So they said, they called the Rav Moshe Feinstein, what can we do? What should we do? So Moshe said, stall off till nighttime. Nighttime it'll be Yom Lamed Aleph. In Ikar Adin, you can do the Pinyan Ben Balayla, Leil Lamed Aleph. It's only a minute that you do it by Yom Rir. They invited everybody already. So wait till they should sing Zmira, sing the Gunim, say it, Vatar, whatever. Waste time in the beginning and do the Pinyan Ben, Belei Lamed Aleph. Or, let's say, here in the neighborhood, I remember years ago, it was in the middle of the winter and the Pinyan Ben was supposed to be on a short Friday, one of the short Fridays. So no one would show up. People have to go to work. You can't have the Pinyan Ben after Shacharis. Everyone's going to run to work. And you can't have it late in the afternoon. It's a Cherev Shabbos. So Rabbi Schwab recommended they should make the Pinyan Ben on Thursday night in such a situation. Because Mikra Din, you can do the Pinyan Ben Leil Lamed Aleph. Just we have a minig for 5-6 different reasons why we don't do Pinyan Ben Leil Lamed Aleph, wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. But if you have a slight Shas Adchak, then you could do on Leil Lamed Aleph. So again, so Mikra Din, that's what it says in Shulchan. Mikra Din, the Chachamim never made a takana of Hadlokas Aneris on Erev Yom Kippur, because you don't eat any meal. The Iker Hadlokas Aneris is that the Neris should be lit b'mokam achila. We pass can make it then you can be out to Hadlokas Aneris, even it's not going to be the mokam achila. But the original takana was that it should be b'mokam achila. So on Yom Kippur there's no achila, so they never made a takana. So the Gemara says, Shnei Mudavar Echad Niskavnu, the both minhagim, the one meaning that Bedavki you do like Neiris and Erev Yom Kippur, the meaning that you don't like Neiris and Erev Yom Kippur, the both menhagim are only for married people, not for single people. Hadlokas Neiris and Erev Shabbos Erev Yom Kippur for single people also. Everyone, whoever happens to be around, has to bench licht. Hadlokas Neiris Erev Yom Kippur is because one of the Chamisha Inuyim is Tashmish Amita, and we don't want the people to violate the Inuyim. So one minig developed that Badavki do light Neiris in the bedroom, not in the dining room, you light Neiris in the bedroom. So also the Shamish Mitosa La'or on air. So if they'll have the candles burning in the bedroom, so they won't violate that din. And the other meaning was that you Badavki don't light Neiris on Leil Yom Kippur, so you won't see how good looking his wife is, so he won't be tempted to violate the din. So the two minhagim are based on the same thing, that married people, we don't want them to violate the Hamisha Inui, we don't want them to violate the Inui of Tashmish Amita. So that's why the minhag developed, either Bedavki do like, or Bedavki don't like. So the Mechaber goes with the Shita, that you recite the Bracha on a Mitzvah Deraisa, on a Mitzvah Derabbanan. The Gemara says, we say Bracha Shekirishana Mitzvah, Lahalik Ner Shalchanik Namasa, the Echan Tzivano. What do you mean Tzivano? The Gemara says, that's acceptable. You say a bracha on a mitzvah, the rabbanon also, and it's legitimate to say a shekirishana mitzvah of itzivon. But what if it's only a minhag? So when you clap hoshainis on Hoshana Rabbi, you don't say a bracha. The Gemara says, why? Because it's a minhag. That's a simple reading of the Gemara in Sukkah. A bracha is not recited on chibut harova because chavit chavit v'loy barich. They didn't say a bracha because it's only a minhag. So that's how the Rambam passed. So the Rambam writes that Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh, the Gemara says in the end of Tainus, reciting Chatzi Halal Amish Chodesh is only a minhag, it's not even a din derabbanan. So the Rambam in the Chach Miswa and the Mechaber writes that you don't say a bracha on a minig. And Hadlokas Haneris, Haneris, Yom Kippur is only a minig, the Gemara says. It's So one does not recite the bracha on a minig. And the Balei HaTaisus held not so, that Chibat HaRav is a different kind of a minig. But the minig of Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Yom Kippur, since Hadlokas HaNeiros exists as a mitzvah on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, so even on Erev Yom Kippur, that it's only a minig, but other times of the year it would be a mitzvah. So you do say bracha halal sometimes is a mitzvah. Even the chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minig, but that kind of a minig you do recite the bracha. So that's the difference between a Sfardim and Ashkenazim. The Sfardim would only say would not recite a bracha on Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Yom Kippur, and Ashkenazim would recite the bracha. Yeah, our practice is that we do recite the bracha on Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. And there's also a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch, when is the bracha recited? So the Mechaber writes, based on the Gemara in Psachim Dav Zayin, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam, Evarach Aleim, Oivalas Yasam. You always recite the bracha in advance of performing the mitzvah. The Gemara says, why does it say Oivalas Yasam? Why doesn't it say Koidim As Yasam? The Oiver has the connotation of immediately before, not Oiver the Oiver. If it would say Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam, Evarach Aleim, Koidim As Yasam, you might say the bracha when you're taking out the tefillin from the tefillin zekel before you even put it on your arm. So the Gemara says, no, tefillin ein masayim evarach aleim. The Gemara says, after the tefillin is sitting on your arm and you're about to do the hiduk, ishas hanacha, shas kshira. When you're about to do the hiduk, then you say the bracha. So the Mechaber says that more correct is to recite the bracha lahadlik ner shel Shabbos immediately before you're about to light the candles. And the Ramah writes that the minig by many Ashkenazim is not so. The minig is that you say the bracha la'achar asiyosim, after you lit the candles. And to make it, why do you say the bracha after? So this is based on the Bahag. The halachas gedolas every so often has a psachidish that the Balei HaTaisus are not happy about. But because the Bahag lived in the days of the Gaonim, So we don't want to violate his opinions. Like the Bahag is the one who said, if you missed one day in Sfiras HaOmer, then you can't say a bracha. When you count the other days, you lost the mitzvah. So Taisus doesn't agree at all, but they say, Fafal, the Bahag said. So we don't want to violate the Bahag's opinion. The Taisus quotes, the Bahag's opinion is that a woman can't read the Megillah to be mitzi a man. The simple reading in the Gemara is that she's just mechuyim, same as the men, and the woman can read the Megillah for men. We don't want to violate the Bahag's opinion, so we don't allow that. We don't allow a woman to read the Megillah for a man, unless you have no choice. Let's say the husband is sick, and he's sleeping all day long, and he can't tell a Balkari to come. There's no Zman Kavum, and he's going to wake up. So the only one who can read the Megillah is his wife, okay? So if you have a big Shas HaTchak Migra Din, we do. We don't paskin like the Bahag. That's how the paskin say. But l'chatchila, we don't want to violate the shita of the Bahag. There also the Bahag has a shita. When you do hadlokas haneiros on Erev Shabbos, that constitutes kabbalas tosef for Shabbos bal korchai for the whole family. Everyone who's yotze with the hadlokas, the husband, the wife, all the children, they all have to observe tosef for Shabbos from that time on. So l'chatchila, Taisus is not happy that. Where did the Bahag get this idea? He got it from the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the base. And the Gemara is discussing reciting Shehechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On Pesach Shavuos Sukkot, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. Samachta b'chagecha. So we understand that's how some Rishonim say. We understand that you say Shehechiyonu at the end of the Kiddush, you say Shehechiyonu. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara is wondering, is there a mitzvah of Simcha? On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Pesach only says, Samachta b'chagecha on Sukkot, and the Sholosh Golem, Ahuk Shua Hadadi. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So that's really a machlokes HaTanaim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancels Shiva, whether they cancel Shloshim, machlokes in the Mishnah. So we paskin b'negir to canceling Avelos, Halachik Diran Mekel Ba'ovel. So whenever there's a machlokes, even if in general the Pesach HaMekubal is one way, but when it comes to Avelos, we're always Mekel. Even on this exact shayla, we usually go to Chumrah, but when it's Negev Tavelus, the exact same shayla, Negev Tavelus, we go to Kula. So it could be that we really hold Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no Chiyuv Simcha, but we say it cancels Avelus, because Halacha Deva Mekal Bavu. So what's Taka the Din? Do you say Shechion on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? Is there a Chiyuv Simcha? Or despite the fact that we passed and there's no Chiyuv Simcha, but it still knocks off Avelus, because Halacha Deva Mekal Bavu. So that's how some Rishonim explained. That was the Gemara's suffix, whether reciting Shachyana on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is like Pesach Shavuos Sukkos Yimuchiv Tu. It's only like a pre-chadash, that is a reciting Shachyana when you have a pre-chadash selling in the store, is only a reshus. That's not a chayv. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's a chayv. Yimuchiv to recite Shachyana on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara says, how can you say Shachyana on Yom Kippur, but you're not reciting Kiddush over a cup of wine? So the Gemara says, that's okay. Shachyana Omer Afilu Bashuk. Shachyana on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, strictly speaking, doesn't have to be recited over the coast of the Yayin. If you're going to say Kiddush anyway, ala Yayin, and then you're going to say Shachyana till the end of the Kiddush, you will enhance the significance, the Hashivas of the Broch and Shachyana, that you made it into, you made a toast. You made the Shachyana into a Broch ala coast. So you enhance the Hashivas of the Shachyana. But strictly speaking, the Shachyana on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos can be recited Shalom ala coast. Also, a lot of women have the meaning that they recite Shachyana when they bench lift on Yom Tovim. And Rabbi Kivega quotes from Rabbi Yankov Emden that they're really cheating themselves. The husbands could have said Shachyana also, Shalom b'shas Kiddush. But why don't we do it? Because when you say the Shachyana to the end of the Kiddush, you enhance the Hashivas of the Shachyana. You make it into a Broch ala kos. So why should the women cheat themselves? Many women have a minig, they say Shachyana at the time that they bench lift. So they're cheating themselves. If they wouldn't say Shachyana, they'll wait till the husband says Kiddush, then the Shachyana will be ala yayin. So it's better to have it like that. So that's some of the women don't want to give up their mother's minig, their mother's minig. They don't want to listen to Rabbi Yankov Emden, to listen to the husband's Kiddush. They want to say their own Shachyana. And others are prepared to forgo their Shachyana, to listen to the Shachyana when the husband says Kiddush. The Shachyana will be cited, ala yayin. So the Gemara discusses why, on Leil Yom Kippur, why do you have to recite Shachyana Shalom ala kos? Say Shachyana ala cup of wine, and you'll enhance the Hashivas of the Brach. The Gemara says, no, it's not considered a Brach ala kos unless somebody takes a sip of the wine. Amvartzach sheyitam. So when you say Shachyana, you're mekabel Yom Kippur already. You can't finish Shachyana on Erev Yom Kippur. Let's say a lot of the women bench licht on Erev Yom Kippur. And they make a tanai. They don't want to be mekabel Yom Kippur until they go to shul, because they want to drive to shul. So if they plan to drive to shul, they're not mekabel Yom Kippur. They can't say Shachyana when they bench licht. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. Because the Gemara says, once you say Shachyana, Shachyana could only be recited on Yom Tov. So if you say Shachyana in advance, when you bench licht, it means by definition, you're mekabel Tosefes Yom Tov. So to do malacha after, you plan to drive to shul, then you can't say Shachyana at that time. So the Gemara says, why not say Shachyana and not over a cup of wine, you won't take a sip? The Gemara says, no. If nobody takes a sip of the wine, then it's not called a brach ala kos. The Gemara says, why not say Shachyana over a cup of wine and give the wine to a child who's eating anyway? So the Gemara says, that's a bad chinuch. We're afraid the child will grow up and he'll remember that they gave him wine to drink on Leil Yom Kippur, and he'll think even as an adult he's supposed to drink the wine. So that's not a smart idea. The Gemara says, why not say Shachyana on Erev Yom Kippur before the Shkia? So you'll be yotze the Shachyana and take a sip of wine. The Gemara says, no, you can't say Shachyana on Erev Yom Kippur. Well, if you say Shachyana, you don't want it to be a bracha levatola, means you're mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur. That's the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem Amud Beis. So the Baal Halachas Gedoyla says, the same is true, if you do Hadlokas on there, it's on there of Shabbos. You say the Bracha, Shekirishon Tzatzman Lahadlik Nersh al Shabbos, so you're doing a Maisa Hadlok on the Kovet Shabbos. So he says, once you do Hadlokas on there, it's Kabbalah Stasef and Shabbos Baal Korcham for all of the members of the family, for the husband, for the wife, and for all the children. So the Rishonim write that they had a practice. The husband would go to shul to daven mincha, because you can't daven pilas chol after you mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. The husband would go to shul to daven mincha, and after they were finished davening mincha, the husband would send one of the children home to tell the mother that she should bench licht. Because if the mother would bench licht before they would daven mincha, then it's Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos for all the members of the family, then they're not allowed to daven tefilas chol. So they would, after they finished davening mincha, tefilas chol, and someone would start the chunar, I don't know, they would send one of their children home, tell the mother she should bench licht now. So we're not machmer that far. We're only machmer part of the chiddush of the Baha'al, that is Kabbalah Sefer Shabbos for the woman who lit the neiros. We don't say it's for all of Bnei Habayis. L'chatchile, unless there's a big shas hatak, we say it's not proper that the woman should make a tanai and have in mind that she's not mekabel Shabbos. We should be choshish for the shita sabahag that al-yideh hadlokas haneiros, it's Kabbalah Sefer Shabbos bal korcho. So this is already a step further. We're machmer like the Baha'ag l'chatchile, that lighting the neiros is Tosefta Shabbos for the balabosta. So this is a chumra on top of a chumra. Tosis is not happy with that. Tosis says Shachyana is a bracha that you have to say on Yom Tov. So we say Shachyana on Erev Yom Kippur. Obviously, you don't want it to be a bracha about Tola. So you mean that Yom Kippur Tosefta is Yom Kippur? So when you say Shachyana on Erev Yom Kippur, that's Kabbalah Tosefta is Yom Kippur Bal Korchai. But to be madlik on neiros, that's an action that you do on Erev Shabbos. So why does Hadlokas HaNeris indicate that you are Mekabel Tosefer Shabbos? I'll be Mekabel Tosefer Shabbos later, not now. So Tosefta disagrees with the Baha'ad. But the meaning is, Lechatchila to be Choshesh for the Baha'ad, at least for the Balabosta, not for the husband or the Bnei Habayis, for the Balabosta herself is mother. So then a Chumra on top of a Chumra is, that if the Balabosta will say the Baruch Lahadeg Ner Shal Shabbos Oyvel Asiyasam, before she lights the Neris, maybe recitation of the bracha, La'alik Ner Shel Shabbos, just like their Shachyonu, is implicitly Kabbalah Tosefes Yom Kippur. So maybe reciting the bracha, La'alik Ner Shel Shabbos, is Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos Bal Koch, that she can't light the candles. So Rabbi Kevegi writes on the Shulchan Aruch that he thinks it's a big joke. What do you mean? Let's say the woman's going to light a whole bunch of candles. So when she lights the first candle, according to the Baha'i, when she lights the first candle, it's already Tosefes Shabbos. How does she light the second candle? The meaning is everybody lights two candles. One keneged Zohar, one keneged Shamar. Because the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave. When he came out of the cave, so he saw a farmer was walking with two flowers. And he asked on Erev Shabbos, and he asked, why you have two flowers? So he said, one keneged Zohar, one keneged Shamar. So that's why the meaning developed, that we have two, a minimum of two neiros. And there of Shabbos, one keneged Zachar, one keneged Shama. So the is. And many women like more than two candles. It's keneged, it's one keneged Zachar, one keneged Shama, so it's not going to be keneged. So that's what they say in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama says, whenever something is keneged something else, so it means you have a minimum, you need at least two. Like the Gemara says, why do you give seven aliyahs on Shabbos to create a third keneged, the Shiva Shomrei Hasaf? But the Gemara says you can make Hosafos on Shabbos. You can give 15 aliyahs. Are you supposed to be keneged Shiva Shomrei Hasaf? So the answer is, the Rama says, whenever something is keneged something else, that's the minimum. You have to have is at least seven. Let's say, and the Rishonim, they say, the Meiri has in the Magen Avos this discussion. When you recite Kriya Shema, so there should be Ramach words. In the three parshas Shema, Vayom Shema, and Vayomer, you have 248 words, Keneged the Ramach Mitzvah Sesei. But there are not 248 words, you're missing the three words. So you add on another couple of words, Hashem Elokech Memes, the Chazan says over. What if you're davening B'Yechidus? So some Achranim say, so say over a Pasuk twice. Say, the Man Yibu Yemechem, Yemevenechem, say over that Pasuk twice. Say over the pasuk twice. You only need three more words. You're going to say, you're going to have more than 10 words. That's more than 10 words. The answer is, that's okay. That's okay. To say a pasuk twice is not a hefsek. We do it all the time in Mikra Megillah. We say a bracha, Mikra Megillah, then we lay the Megillah. So we want to lay the whole Megillah mitoch haksav. But there are a couple of psukim that we say out loud, bal peh, before the Balkari lays it. Lo yirin ma'asari v'simcha v'sasim yikar, and so on. So there are a few psukim that we say, psukim shal gula, shal yeshua. So why isn't that a hepsik? So the psukim say, they say, yeah, psuk twice, that's not a hepsik. So let's say, leman yibri mechem, you say that psuk twice. So you're going to have more than three words. That's okay. Whenever something is connected, something else means you want to have a minimum of 248 words. Doesn't have to be exactly. So the same over here, a woman is going to bench lich. So she has, you have two neighbors, one keneged zach and one keneged shama. But if you have another nine children, so you, many have the meaning that you light 11 candles. When they first got married, they lit two candles, and every time they had another baby, they lit another candle. So that's okay, that's keneged. Rabbi Kivega raises the issue, if the woman is going to light two candles, and when she lights the first candle, according to the Bahagat Tzeredi Kabbalah Taseh for Shabbos, how does she light the second candle? If she's going to light 11 candles, how does she light 10 candles after the first one? When you light the first candle, it's already Hadlokas HaNeris. The answer is, it's not Kabbalah Taseh, even according to the Bahag, that Hadlokas HaNeris is Kabbalah Taseh for Shabbos, Bal Koch HaShaladam, it's only when you finish the Hadlokas HaNeris. So what are you worried about if you say the bracha Hashikachan Sanal Hadlik Nesh Hashab before you light the candle? Maybe reciting the bracha will already be Kabbalah Taseh for Shabbos. Reciting the bracha won't constitute Kabbalah Taseh for Shabbos till you recite the bracha and you light all the 11 candles. You light everything when you finish the Hadlokas HaNeris, but not when you just begin. So Rabbi Kivega is not so thrilled about this. It's a difficult. It's a chumrah on top of a chumrah. We really don't hold like the Bahag in the first place. That Hadlokas HaNeris is Kabbalah Taseh for Shabbos Bal Korchei. That's why if there's a big Shas HaTchatzah with Mekel, the woman can have a mind that she's not Mekabbalah Taseh for Shabbos. But L'chatchila, when there's no big Shas HaTchatzah, so we are very respectful of the Bahag's opinions. We don't allow women to read the Megillah for men. And we don't, if a person forgot a day in Sfir Zayma, so you don't let him say a bracha the rest of the time out of respect for the Bahag, even though we don't really pass on like that. The same over here. We are respectful of the Bahag. So Chatchila, she shouldn't do, when she does the Hadlokas HaNeris, she shouldn't make a tonight. She should have in mind that she's Mekabel to serve the Shabbos at that time. So this is really a difficult, this Ramah is a difficult Chumrah. That you don't say the bracha l'hadlik nesh al Shabbos till after the Hadlokas HaNeris. And then to make it a little bit oibel asiyosim, so the women close their eyes, they don't get hanoah from the neris. And then they say the bracha, and then they open their eyes. So in a certain sense, it's a little bit oibel asiyosim. Yeah, so they, Chacham Avadi Yosef writes that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer had passed away already. He lived in Eretz at the end of his life, and he heard from Abisa Zalman's son, I think he was the head of the yeshiva, the RCA had a yeshiva for many years, in Rehovot, Yeshivat HaDaram.
Yeah.
I think it was in Rehovot.
Yeah.
So I think Abisa Zalman's son was the head of the yeshiva there. So Rav Chacham Avadia says he heard from him when his parents were coming by boat to Eretz Yisrael, when they left Europe. So Rabbi Zalman told his wife that now they were moving to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yosef Karo is the Mora d'Asra, so from now on you should follow the Mechaber's opinion to recite the Bracha L'Hadlik Nesh al Shabbos Oibel Asiyos, before you light the candles. And then others said over, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said over also, at the same time he decided that he's no longer going to follow the Ramah by Netilas Yadayim. The meaning by many Ashkenazim is, Mechaber says, you say bracha on Netilas Yadayim over Lasiyasim before you wash your hands. If your hands are dirty, so you have to rinse your hands off first. And then you say the bracha over Lasiyasim before you pour the water. So the Ramah quotes a meaning from the Bali HaTosfos, the Tosfos and all the Rishonim quote, that sometimes a person just touched the shoes or he came out of the bathroom and his hands are dirty, he's not allowed to say bracha. So they developed a meaning that whenever you wash until the Siddharm, you say a bracha, you always make a light plug, you always say the bracha lachar asiyasam, but to make it a little bit oibel asiyasam, so you say the bracha before you dry your hands. Because the Gemara says in the beginning of Saita, if you eat echel b'li niguv, if you eat the bread, if you eat the sandwich without drying your hands, ki echel lechem tamei, that's not proper. So the Gemara of the Netilas Yadayim, the mitzvah until Zayim is not completed until you dry your hands off. So many have the practice to follow the Bali HaTosfos meaning to say the bracha lachar asiyasam with the justification that since you didn't dry your hands, so it's a little bit, it's still oibel asiyasam, like you close your eyes and you say the bracha, then you open your eyes and you get the hanor from the Ner Shabbos. So that makes it, that's a justification, it makes it a little bit oibel asiyasam. So the same thing by Netilas Yadayim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes there about Netilas Yadayim, he quotes the Ran and other Rishonim, but if a person knows that his hands are clean, and he is able to say the bracha over l'asiyasam, so you have to davke say the bracha l'achar l'asiyasam. If you know You don't need the whole practice with the justification. Say the bracha ebel asiyasim. There's no avera if you say the bracha. The Balei HaTos has developed a minig that can be justified, that you can, there's yesh diyashid bedechek, to say the bracha lachar asiyasim, it's a little bit ebel asiyasim. But if you say the bracha mamash ebel asiyasim, it's very good. So that's what they say, Rabbi Zalman, when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, changed the both practices. He said that since Rabbi Yosef Kar is the Morad Asher in Eretz Yisrael, his wife should always say the bracha Oyvel Asiyasan before Hadlakas Haneris, and he's going to say the bracha until Sadaim also Oyvel Asiyasan. What does it mean that Rabbi Yosef Kar is the Morad Asher in Eretz Yisrael? He's going to follow the Mechaber and everything. He's not going to follow the Ramah. I don't think so. He didn't follow the Mechaber and everything. These two dinim are always difficult. These two Ramos, about that saying the bracha on Hadlokas Haneris and on the Tilus Adam Lachar Rishasim, these are both difficult justifications. So he said this was difficult in the first place. All the years that he lived in the Chutz Lartz, it was problematic why we recite the bracha Lachar Asiyas. So when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his practice. Interesting. Yeah. Mishnah says in the end of Amad Likin that when a person lights Neiris Shabbos, he has to be careful. If it's Safik HaShechus HaVekenech HaShech, if it's Bein HaShmashis, Ein Madlik Mes HaNeiris. Bein HaShmashis is Safik Yam, Safik Lailas, Safik Bereis HaLuchumra. So you're not allowed to be Madlik HaShaneiris. Madlik HaShaneiris is a Malacha Bereis. And what about Dinam Derabbanan? You may do Bein HaShmashis. Did you say Safik Derabbanan L'Kula? So the Mishnah says no. Some din and the rabbanon you may, some isurim the rabbanon you may do bein hashmash, some not. What is it? Ei madlik masaneres, ei masaneres habadai. To be mafresh chumas and maisis on Shabbos Yontov is a mishnah at the end of Beitzah. That it's awesome at the rabbanon to be mafresh chumas and maisis. It's not an isur deraisa. To be mafresh demai, that's a chumra mid the rabbanon. So the mishnah says zofik hashecha sabekein hashecha. Ei ma'asenes habadai. You don't say sveika de rabbanon lekula. That's a real malach med rabbanon to be mafresh chumas and maisis on Shabbos is a real malach. It's misakin mana med rabbanon. So you're not allowed to do it even bein hashmashes. Av ma'asenes hademan because afrash has demai is only a chumah med rabbanon. So that would make them. What about el ma'arvim v'tom nesachamin? You're allowed to make an eruv. So the Gemara said, what kind of eruv? There are different kinds of eruvim. So to make an eruv echatzeris. Or to make an eruv tchumen, to make an eruv chatzeris, or to make eruv tavshilin, so that will make al bein hashmashes. You're allowed to do bein hashmashes. To make eruv tchumen, you're not allowed to. The Gemara draws a distinction. Why? Because tchumen is a pasuk in chumash. Al yetzi ish memkomo, no one's allowed to go chutz l'tchum. So that's the mocker for Rabbi Akiva's shita. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that tchum shabbos deraisa alpay mama. 1 mil is alpay mama. 1 mil means if a person is walking normally, how far will he get in 22 and a half minutes? So let's say a person lives in the desert. If you live in the middle of a city, so the whole city is Kedala Hamizdam, and then you have Alpai Mama and Michutzlo here. But if he doesn't live in a city, he lives all by himself on a farm, or he lives in the desert or in the mountains or something, there's no city around him. So he can only walk 22 and a half minutes in any one direction. Because approximately walking 22 and a half minutes, that's the Shear Mill. That's the Shear Mill. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that Tchumen is the Raisa Pai Mama based on the Pasuk, Al Yetzi Ish Mem Kom. We don't Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We Paskin that Tchumen Al Pai Mama for sure is only Mid the Rabbanah. What about Yud Beis Mill? So that's a big Shaila. So the Yerushalmi, the riff at the end of the first Perek in Erevin, quotes the Yerushalmi. And the Rambam quotes it, and the Mechaber paskens like this. The Yerushalmi has an idea that Tchum and Yud Beis Mil is their Isa. So the Balei HaTosfos say we don't accept that Yerushalmi. The Bavli never makes such a distinction between 1 mil and Yud Beis Mil. So we assume all Tchumen is only the Rabbanah. And the Mechaber is machma like that. The Mechaber says when you have a Sveikah Adina in Tchumen, whether something is Aser or Mutter, so with respect to going Yud Beis Mil, we would be machmir. Because that's a sveika deraisa luchomer. With respect to going alpay mama 1 mil, we would be mekel. Because tchumen one mil alpay mama is only derabbanan. Tchumen yud beis mil is deraisa. So the Gemara says that pasuk al yetzi ish memkom according to Rabbi Akiva, That is the pasuk that teaches us that chumen is a din deraisa. And even according to the way we paskin that chumen is only the rabbanon, but you have an asmachta. This simple reading on the pasuk sounds like that's what it's saying. So we interpret, the Torah Shabbat Pah interprets, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, means Rashi and Chumash says, Ayetzi Yishmim Koma, the Kehla of the Yodav. Every day, they would walk out in the Midbar, carrying pots and pans, containers, and pick up a mon, Omer Lagul Golis, let's say a husband and a wife, and they have 9 children, so the husband would go, the husband has a Chiyav Parnasa, and the husband would go and collect 11 Omarim, 11 measures of food of the month for himself and his wife and the 9 children. So that's what it says on Shabbos. Al Yetzi Yishmim Kama V'Keil of the other. There was no Erev in the Midbar, and had a din of Rishu Saram Deraisa. The Gemara said, when Esau were traveling in the Midbar, had a din like Rishu Saram Deraisa. So to carry Dalai Lamas in the Midbar was an Issa Deraisa. So Al Yetzi Yishmim Kama V'Keil of the other. No one should walk out on Shabbos carrying a Kli, because it's an Issa Hoitzo. Yeah, but the simple reading in the pasuk sounds like there's an isa trumen. So that's what the Gemara says. Trumen is more chomer than erev de trumen is more serious than erev de chatzeres and erev tavshil. So when it says in the Mishnah, umaharvin sofek hashecha savekene hashecha during bein hashmashes, we are make of that you're allowed to make an erev. It doesn't mean erev de trumen. No, erev de trumen is more serious an issue that we would not be make of bein hashmashes. We only be make of Eruv Echatzeres, that's Takana Shloima HaMelech. If you live in an apartment building, so in Torah, everything is one big Rishus HaYochid, but with the Rabbanon, since Reuben's family lives in this apartment, Shimon's family lives in that apartment, and all the families have the right to use the hallway and the lobby and so on, that's shared in common, so you need Eruv Echatzeres to carry them. So Eruv Echatzeres is only a Chumrim in the Rabbanon. It's a light within the Rabbanon. And Erev Tavshil, and also Mikra Din, it's Mutar Lagami to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. It's only a Chumrim with the Rabbanon that you need Erev Tavshil. So Erev Tavshil and Eruvei Chatzeres, you may do Bein Hashmashes. Why don't you just say Sveika the Rabbanon Lakula? Why don't you say Bein Hashmashes is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila, Safik Shabbos, Safik Chol, so Dinim Daraisa Arasa, Safik Daraisa Lachumim, Safik the Rabbanon Lakula. So the Pashto says he can't say Safik the Rabbanon Kula. It's not a Safik the Rabbanon. It's a Safik the Raisa. Is it Shabbos or not? Is it Shabbos or not? It's relevant for Dinim the Raisa, for Dinim the Rabbanon. But the Shorish HaSafik, the main Safik is it Shabbos, is it not Shabbos? So that's a Safik the Raisa, which has ramifications in the areas the Rabbanon. So the Pashto says he can't say here Safik the Rabbanon Kula. It's really a Safik the Raisa. Yeah, there's a very questionable Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer is discussing a Gemara in the middle of Psochim. The Gemara in Psochim, it really belongs somewhere else, but it's in Psochim, that Bein Hashmashes of Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat, because Safik Deraisa L'chumra. And Bein Hashmashes of Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat, but Bein Hashmashes of Shivasa B'Tamas, on Gedalia, Sar B'Tavis, you are allowed to eat. Goes on the Bein Hashmashes when the Tanis is over. Bein Hashmashes, the night before, you're allowed to eat the whole night long, not just Bein Hashmashes, but the night following, Asar B'Tevish, Ruasa B'Tamis, and Sam Gedalia. So the Gemara says you're permitted to eat Bein Hashmashes. So Tosis and Tainis, Daf Yudalev, raises the question, how come the minig is that we don't? How come the minig is that everybody waits till Tzeis HaKachavim to be able to eat a Matzoi Tainis? Maybe we'll get to that, we'll see. So the Taz has a chiddush. The Taz thinks that fasting on Tisha B'Av, Bizman Hazeh, is Medivri Kabbalah. The Navi said you have to fast. So Medivri Kabbalah, it's a din derabbanan, but it has a haskama b'dezon shalmaylo. The Nevi'im were written Meruach HaKadosh. So the Rabbi Natam has a loshen based on a Gemara. It's a loshen HaGemara. Dibri Kabbalah ki Dibri Torah Damya. A din derabbanan that appears in Tanakh has, in a certain sense, a din like a din deraisa. Some poskim say that's a person when they're clapping Haman, when they read the Megillah, a person is mesupik, maybe he missed a word. Sometimes they clap Haman and the Balkari goes right there, and the listeners are mesupik if they missed a word or not. So would you say Safik Darabana Lakula? That since all Mikra Megillah is only Midarabanan, and you're Mesupik if you miss the words, and maybe you're not Mechuyev to lean over. Or would you say Safik Diri Kabbalah? So the Shagasai wrote a Sefer Turi Evan HaMegillah. So he writes that Mikra Megillah is Diri Kabbalah. It appears in the Tanakh. The Megillah says that it's in Tanakh. And he says, Hayamim Ha'elah Nizkarim. Nizkar means that the days are spoken of by reading the Megillah. That's what, where does it say in the Megillah you have to read the Megillah? Hayamim Ha'elah Nizkarim. The story of Purim, the days of Purim, are spoken of by reading the Megillah. So the Turi Evan is of the opinion, Rabbi Kanega quotes it on Shulchan Aruch, that since Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Torah Damyan, so just like Safik Daraisa Luchomer, Safik Divrei Kabbalah Luchomer also. So that's what the Taz apparently understood. Why is Bein Hashmashes of Tisha B'Av is also Bachila like Bein Hashmashes of Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is Safik Daraisa Luchomer. So Bein Hashmashes is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So Safik Tisha B'Av is also Divrei Kabbalah, because Divrei Kabbalah is Divrei Torah Damyan, because that appears in Treyasa, in Zechariah. They asked the Nabi Zechariah, should we still observe Tisha B'Av? And he says sometimes you have to observe Tisha B'Av. So when we observe Tisha B'Av today, it's Medivri Kabbalah, so that's why Bein Hashmashes is awesome. But the Bein Hashmashes of Shabbos HaPetamis, of Megidalia, and Asar HaPetavis, that's only a minig, because the Gemara said, this man is that depends, Ratzim Masanim, Ratzim Masanim. But Tesis quotes all the Rishonim quote the Bahag, Parsha Avyu Alayu Chayva. The meaning is that Klal Yisrael has accepted it, that we do fast on Shabbos HaBetamis, Sam Gedalia, and Asar HaBetayva. So it's really Tola B'Ratzin. It's Ratzin Misan, Ratzin. It's a meaning. It's a meaning that we fast on the other Tanis. So if it's only a meaning, then just like Safik Darabana Lakula, so Safik meaning is certainly Lakula. A meaning is a lower level than a Din Darabana. Minig is lower level than a Din Rabbanan. So that's what the Avnei Nezer, is attacking that Taz. The Taz says that fasting on Tisha B'Av Bizman HaZeh is Medivri Kabbalah. So the Avnei Nezer says that the Rashba on Maseches Vashana wasn't printed yet during the Taz's lifetime. It was only a manuscript. So the Taz therefore didn't have the truth of the matter, even if it would have been printed. The Taz was a very poor man, and he had very few svarim. And it's surprising that he didn't have access to too many svarim at all. The Shach somehow had access to everything. The Shach died at a very young age, and he had all the svarim that were printed in Greece. He was up on everything. He had svarim that we don't even know what they are. He quotes all the svarim of Shach, right, and we don't know who they are. But the Taz was Shvachamaisa, he didn't have access to Svar. So that's what the Avnei Nezer writes. The Taz didn't have the Rashba on Rosh Hashanah because it wasn't printed yet. If he would have had the Rashba, he would have never said that, because the Rashba said that Tisha B'Av Bizman HaZeh, it's not Midiri Kabbalah. So the Taz says it Aloha Lamaisa, because the Shulchan Aruch writes that a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakone is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. He's quoting a Ramban in the Torah Sodom. Chol Hashem B'Sakana, because Tisha B'Av is only the Rabbanan, so Tain is the Rabbanan, Chol Hashem B'Sakana is permitted to eat. So the Taz disagrees. He says he thinks that it's wrong. We shouldn't paskin like this Ramban. We should paskin like the Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan is quoted in the Chuvas Maimini as saying that Bizman HaZeh Tzom Gedalia is only Ratz Masanim Ratz Ein Masanim. So for sure it's mutter for Chol Hashem B'Sakana to eat on Tzom Gedalia. Even Maboris and Manikas are allowed to eat. We declare automatically. All the Mubaris and Manikas are declared as a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. So a real Chol Hashem B'Sakana for sure is allowed to eat. But the Rabbi Natan says, if Tzom Gedalia would have been Medivri Kabbalah Bizman HaZeh, which it isn't, if it would have been Medivri Kabbalah, then it would have been Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Torah Damyan. So just like on Yom Kippur, it's only permissible for Chol Hashem B'Sakana to eat. So the same would have been on Tzom Gedalia. So the Taz Tain is, but Tisha B'Av is Medivri Kabbalah. Tisha B'Av is Medivri Kabbalah, so only a Chol Hashem B'Sakana should be allowed to eat. A Chol Hashem B'Sakana, not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. So nobody passes, we don't pass like the Taz. So the Shaila is, but how do you deal with the Gemara? The Gemara said a chilek between Tisha B'Av and the other Tanaisim, then again to Bein Hashmashes. So the Taz apparently understood that Tisha B'Av is Medivri Kabbalah, Divrei Kabbalah, Kedivrei Torah Damyan, So Ben Ashmash is like a Safik Daraisa Luchomer, so Safik Nibi Kabbalah Luchomer. But some Gedalia Sarbatavis is only at the Rabbanan, or only a Minig, so Safik Darabbanan Lakula. That's apparently how the Taz understood. So the Avdenazer says it's not correct. He says, Tisha B'av Bizmana says it's only Midi Rabbanan. It's not Midiri Kabbalah. If it's only the Rabbanan, so why don't you say Ben Ashmash should be Mutter to eat? Safik the Rabbanan Lakula. So he says, because there are two Ben Ashmashes. Ben Ashmashes, because Tisha B'av you fast by Yoma Balayla, Leila Ki Yoma. You fast 24 hours, so you have to judge on two Ben Ashmashes. So if you be Mekal on the first Ben Ashmashes that you're allowed to eat, Safik the Rabbanan Lakula, then it's going to come out to the second Ben Ashmashes is Luchumra. He's saying Ben Ashmashes is Kiyom. So the Ben Ashmashes of Sof Tisha B'Av will be Luchumra. If you only be Mekal on the second Ben Ashmashes, because Ben Ashmashes is Kalaila, then you have to be Machma on the first Ben Ashmashes. You can't be Mekal on both. It'll be a tie to the Sasra. You can't just pick arbitrarily, I'll be Mekal on one, whichever one I want to. He said, that's the last Simon in Yeridei Chelek Aleph. And if you have Shtei Kederis, and he said, the Rabbana and the Trefa ingredient fell into one of two pots of kosher soup. You don't know whether it fell into this one or that one. So you can't say arbitrarily, no, it fell into the other one, Safik the Rabbana Lakula. The worst thing could be is that he said, the Rabbana fell in, I don't know if it fell into pot A or pot B. I like the chicken soup. I don't like the pea soup. So I'll say, the pea soup is Trefa. And the other guy likes pea soup, he doesn't like the chicken soup. They'll say, the Issa the Rabbana fell into the other pot. So you have the right to pick arbitrarily, and you can't be Mekel on both, it's a tie to the Sasa. So you have no choice, that's taken there, is you have to be Machmer on both. So that's what Avnei Nezer says. But on Sarbatevis, on Gedalia, and Shabbos, and Batamiz, there's only one Ben Ashmashes to talk about, then you have right to say that Safik the Rabban Lakula. That's Avnei Nezer. So this is really not the generally accepted opinion. We really don't go like that. We hold they can't say Sveika the Rabban Lakula on Ben Ashmashes. There's a Sfasemes on the Mishnah increases. The din is that sometimes you have to bring an Ashim Tolui. If a person knows for sure that he ate Chometz B'Pesach, he ate a kazayis of a cookie, let's say, he ate some cookies on Pesach, he thought they were kosher the Pesach, turns out that they were Chometz Dik. He finds out they were Chometz Dik. But he did an Avera B'Shoiki, which if he would have done it, it would have been Chayv Kares. So he's chayv to bring a chatas. What if he's mesupik, whether he ate the chametz b'pesach or not? So he brings an ashim tolu. So the Gemara says, la halacha, there's a machlokes satanai. The Gemara says, we paskin, you only bring an ashim tolu if it's ikva isura. If there's chaticha achas, mishtei chatichas. Means if I ate three cookies on Pesach, and now I have a suffering, maybe those cookies were chametz dik. Maybe those cookies were there from last month. Or maybe my wife just baked the cookies. No, I don't remember whether these cookies are Pesach cookies or Chometz Dik. I ate them up and there's no way to tell now. So if you have a suffix like that, we paskin, you're not Chayv and Ashim Toli. You're only Chayv and Ashim Toli if I know for sure that there are some Chometz Dik cookies and Pesach Dik cookies. And I ate some of them, and now I don't know whether the ones that I ate were the Chometz Dik or the Pesach Dik. And have the other cookies are here, but there's still no way to tell. So if you have chaticha achas, mishtei chatichas, you have a tarubis of chad bechad. If you have a tarubis chad betray, so mikra din chad betray is bottle bereif. Chad betray is bottle bereif. But if you have chad bechad, it's not chad betray. You have chad bechad. You have one tray, one chametz, let's say three chametz dikka cookies and three pesach dikka cookies, and you don't know which is which, and you ate three cookies. And three cookies for sure is a kazayis. You don't know whether you ate the chametz dik cookies or the pesach dik cookies. That's called ikva yisura. It means that there's a vaday yisa here, but I'm not sure whether I violated the yisa. But if I have are three cookies, and after I eat them, it dawns upon me, hey, maybe these were chametz dik cookies. Maybe they were, maybe they were not. So that they're not chayv ashim toli for that. So the Gemara has a concept. You only chayv ashim talu. That's how we pass on the halach machlekes hatanaim. You only chayv ashim talu if it's ikva yisura. So ikva yisura, it means it's a tarubis. There's a vade isa here, but it's the tarubis of chad bechad. The ikva yisura is a different type of a suffix. It's a different chalashem suffix. And the pashtus is, let's say you have an issa, the rabbanon gets mixed in chad b'chad with a piece of heter. You have the right to pick one piece and say it's mutter, safik the rabbanon akula. So there is a, there are some rishonim say like that, but the pashtus is we don't paskin like that. We paskin ikva yisura is a different type of a chal l'shem safik. Even according to the Rambam, holds that safik the raisa l'chumra is only with the rabbanon. But by Ikva Yisur, the Rambam agreed that Safik Deraisa Luchom is Mederaisa. Ikva Yisur is a different Chal Hashem Safik. It's a Safik Shalom Nitan LaHachra. So that's what the Sfasemis suggests on Krisis. He suggests maybe Ben Ashmashis is a Safik of Ikva Yisur. Ikva Yisur, you can't say Sveka Derabona Lakula. The Pashtus in the Mishnah is like that. It says Safik Hashecha, Safik Enich Hashecha. That's Safik Deraisa L'chumra. But even not all the Rabbanans are Mutta. Some the Rabbanans are Mutta, some the Rabbanans are Rasa. Only Anisa the Rabbanan Kal is Mutta Ben Ashmashas. Anisa the Rabbanan Chomer is also Ben Ashmashas. And it's a special heter. It's not based on the regular din of Safik the Rabbanan L'kul. Based on a special heter. If it's a Makka Mitzvah, they were never goes in the first place. The Pashtus is like that, Svasemis wrote. The Ben Ashmashis is a different kind of a suffix. It's an Ikva Yisura. This can really be understood very well if you go along this Ritva in Yuma. The Ritva in Yuma has a comment that runs as follows. He has a difficult Gemara and he gives this as a mashal. He says Ben Ashmashis is not a suffix. Since, you know how many years we've been observing the Torah and the Mitzvahs? Several thousand years. We have had Talmidei Chacham all the generations. Let's make a rabbinical, let's make a committee, let's have a conference, and we'll let everybody give their opinion, and we'll decide once and forever when is Yom and when is Laila. Why do you have Ben Ashmashes? Why do you have all the generations over 2,000, 3,000 years? Over 3,000 years, Ben Ashmashes is a Sofik. Let's sit down and we'll paskin what it is. So there's a Ritva in Yuma, where the Ritva says, it's not a suffix, is it Yom, is it Laila? When does Yom end, when does Laila begin? Ben Ashmashes has properties of Yom and properties of Laila. We treat it like a suffix, but it's not a real suffix. It's a type of disasri. Rav Soloveitchik liked that very much. The Rav gave Yortzeit Drush, it was before my time. That was before, way before my Bar Mitzvah, but it's printed. The Drush is printed in the two volumes of the Yortzeit Drushes. That Ben Ashmashes is not a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. Where do you draw the line? When is the end of Yom? When is the beginning of Laila? This idea, the Rav elaborated upon it a lot, and he got it apparently from the Avnei-Nezer. Avnei-Nezer has this in more than 10 places. There are cases that we treat as a Safik, but it's not a Safik, is it A or B? It's both A and B. Whenever you have a Tarta Disasri, the halacha says you have to treat it as if it were a suffix. So if you have Ben Ashmashes, it's both Yom and Laila. And so the halacha says whenever you have tied to this as, you have to treat it like a suffix. So that's taka like Ikva Yisura. So you can't say Sveika de Rabbona Lakula. And this kind of, it's not a suffix. The halacha says you treat it as if it were a suffix. But it's really a tied to this asri. So that's a special kula. Kodav and Shemishim Shvus. The Gozrola Ben Ashmashes, that's a special heter, only on Din of the Rabbanan Kal. If it's a Din the Rabbanan Chomer, then you don't apply that Din. You wouldn't allow Malachas on Ben Ashmashes.
Rav Shechter, what about Mukta during Ben Ashmashes? So let's say I'm running late, I'm not driving, I'm just walking, but I have all kinds of Mukta. I have my wallet, I have my tefillin, I have all kinds of Mukta. So what would be the Din?
I mean, you're carrying in your pocket hoitzah, but there's an Erev, you mean?
There's an Erev, yeah. So it's not a Muktzah issue.
I think Muktzah we would allow. The din is, if it's Ben Ashmashes, we're Mekel, the din of the Rabbana are divided into two categories. There are Malachas from the Rabbana, and there are Gzeris from the Rabbana. So the malachas from the rabbanon are mochamer. So you don't allow any malachas Ben Ashmashes. What you do allow is gzeiris. The isurim the rabbanon divided into two categories: malachas the rabbanon gzeiris, and then the gzeiris are divided into two categories: zera chamura and gzera kala. So whatever is only a gzeira kala, that you make al bein hashmash. Gzeira chamura, you're not makel. And malacha d'rabbanan, also not makel. So my impression, I think, is that mukta is a gzeira kala. So gzeira kala, bein hashmash, is you makel if it's a big shas adchak. If it's a big shas adchak. I mean, if you can't, if you should stop walking the store. And I remember when my first baby was born, that was 50 years ago. My oldest child was just 50 years old, back at the last week in December. So the babies, my neighbor also had a baby in the same hospital. So we both left the hospital Erev Shabbos, and we were going to stay on the east side by a friend of his. So we took a taxi, but the taxi wasn't going to take us there because there was so much traffic we weren't going to make it. So we jumped out of the taxi after we went for 15-20 minutes. We saw we're not going to get anywhere. They paid the taxi cab driver, and then we had my neighbor had a lot of money in his pocket. He was a diamond merchant and he had his diamond loop. So we walked into a liquor shop and he told him he's a religious Jew and he has to leave all of his money here. Say, oh, Shabbos Dicky Geld. The owner of the store was going to be open. Shabbos Dicky Geld, fine. So he gave him his wallet, he gave him everything, and we came back after Shabbos, and we picked it up. You should really leave it there. You should really leave it there. If you have a lot of money, and there's no store to leave it, and if you leave it under a car, it may disappear. I remember we were walking, and then my friend, who was a diamond merchant, realized that he left his loop in his pocket. So I said, you can't carry it here, there's no Erev over here. So he put it right away, he put it on the ground, and he put it right next to the curb, and he kicked with his foot, he kicked the sand. There was sand, dust. He kicked the sand on top of the loop, and we came back on Motzei Shabbos. The loop was still there. Nobody saw it, and nobody took it. And the money was in the liquor shop. So his wife had a baby boy, my wife had a baby girl. So he needed schnapps for the bris. So he bought a bottle of schnapps from the liquor shop. Obviously, he gave him a hanocha. He gave him a break on the schnapps because he was having a bris and because he was a Shem Shabbos. He was respectful of the fact. He was open on Shabbos, but he respected the fact that my friend was a Shem Shabbos. Yeah. So if it's a significant amount of money that you're concerned about, then we would be mekel. I think Tilta Muktza, my impression is that it's a gzera kala. Other things like gzera chamura. That's a question. Let's say Amir al-Nachri. Amir al-Nachri, is that Muta ben Ashmashis? If it's a big Shas al-Khak. Would you say Kol Dovashim Mishim Shvus Legoz al-Ben Ashmashis? Is Amir al-Nachri a Malacha Midi Rabbanon? Or is it only a Gzeira? And if it's a Gzeira, is it a Gzeira Chamura or a Gzeira Kala? We're only Mekal on a Gzeira Kala. You're not Mekal on a Malacha Midi Rabbanon. If you say Amir al-Nachri is considered Yesh Lichas La'akam L'chumre, it's considered as if I did the Malacha. So then it's a malacha mid rabbanon. But if you hold Amir al-Nachri is only a gzera, so then you have to discuss, is it a gzera kala? Is it a gzera chamura? So this is a question. So the Mechaber paskens like the Bali HaTosfos, that Amir al-Nachri is mutter bein hashmashes, if you have a big shas hatrak. Amir al-Nachri is only a gzera kala. And the Mishkan HaSyaikiv disagrees. He thinks we shouldn't pasken like the Mechaber. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote that Mishkan HaSyaikiv. Other times the Mishnah Berurah will quote the Mishkan is Yanka, but over here he doesn't quote. He leaves it like it said in the Mechaber that Amir al-Nachri would be Muta ben Ashmashes if you have a big Shas al-Khak, either on Bat Mitzvah or a big Shas al-Khak. Yeah, when exactly is ben Ashmashes? We'll have to discuss that next week. When exactly is ben Ashmashes? Yeah, but ben Ashmashes is a very Safik Yom Safik Laila. That Safik Deraisa Lechumer. In addition to Ben Ashmashes, there is a din in the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Omrim, that there's a mitzvah lehoset me'chol ala kodesh. That's a whole sugya in Rosh Hashanah, daftes, it goes on and on and on, a whole block gemara, amad aleph, amad beis. There's a din of Tosefet, so based on the simple reading of the gemara, the din of masif me'chol ala kodesh applies to Shabbos, to Yom Tov, and to Yom Kippur, and to the Shnas HaShmita. The whole Shnas HaShmita has Kedusha. It doesn't have the same level of Kedusha as Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it has a Kedusha Zman. So it's a mitzvah lahos mechad lava kodesh lefaneh haliachreha, to add on. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rambam somehow does not pasken like the Gemara. He must have some other source. The Rambam only says Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's a din of Masifim Mechal Al HaKadosh Lefaneha Le'achreha, but on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, there's no din of Tosefes. So that's why the Mechaber, when he quotes the din like Tosefes, says Yesh Omrim, because he knows that the Rambam disagrees, says Yesh Omrim. Some say that it's a mitzvah L'Hosim Mechal Al HaKadosh, not only on Yom Kippur, even on every Shabbos and Yom Kippur as well. So that's a question. What do you mean L'Hosim Mechal Al HaKadosh? Mean to be Moshe before Bein HaShmashes. The Adam Bein HaShmashes is Safi Yom Safi Glalu. That's not called Tosefes. Tosefes means this during this man that it's Chol. You're adding on when it's Chol. So how much should you be Moshe before Bein HaShmashes begins? So that's a question. So there's a Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that a concept, mutab shiyu shogigim lo yehum mizidin. If a person is violating an aveira, and if I'm going to tell him that he's doing wrong, it's vaday to me, it's klobi to talk, he's not going to listen. And now he's probably doing the aveira b'shogig. But if I'll bring it to his attention, then he'll know that it's wrong, and he's still I know he's not going to listen. He's not in the mood that he should listen. So then the Gemara says, mutab shiyu shogigim lo yehum mizidin. Better not to give tochach. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, therefore, the women who eat on Erev Yom Kippur till Yom Kippur, and they violate the din Mosif and Mechal al HaKadosh, and Yom Kippur, the holidays, there's a din of Mosif and Mechal, even the Ramah holds on Yom Kippur, there's a din of Mosif and Mechal al HaKadosh. So we don't give them Tochacha because we know the women are not going to listen anyway. So Mutab Shirisho Gigim, Velo Yehu Mezid. So Tosfos asks on that Gemara, what do you mean? The women eat into Bein HaShmashes? No. Means it sounds from the Gemara that there's some significant amount of time that you're supposed to add on before Bein HaShmashes. So Tosfos wonders, how many minutes is it? How much zman is it? What's the minimum amount that you need to be They can't believe that the women are eating into Bein HaShmashes, so that has nothing to do with Masif and Mechal al HaKadosh. Then they're eating Bein HaShmashes, that's Safik Daraisa. So it must be that there's some minimum amount of time that you have to be Masif and Mechal al HaKadosh. Tosi said they don't know what the minimum amount is. So on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph in Beitza, which Tosi says they don't know, there's a Rabbeinu Peretz. So recently, in the last 50 years, they printed the Rabbeinu Peretz. I have a copy of the Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitza. Until 50 years ago, it was available in manuscript. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maimar Mordechai. Maimar Mordechai was a sefer that was printed in France by the Sfarada Shigoyen. I don't know how the Mishnah Berurah had it. It was printed in the late 1800s. How did he get it from France? Basically, it's a very good sefer. Several volumes on Aruch Haim discusses every topic. Every issue, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, every issue, he always has a Lomdish comment, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes him every other page. He quotes a Maimar Mordechai. So the Maimar Mordechai quotes this Rabbeinu Peretz from the Ksav Yad. At that time, it's still the late 1800s, it's still a manuscript. He says, the Masif and Mechad al HaKadosh on Erev Shabbos is 30 minutes, half an hour. Where did he come up to say half an hour? He doesn't explain. So I thought, because whenever there's a din of samach l'mincha gatana, samach l'mincha gadala, samach, so we always say samach means a half an hour. So that's the din, masif and mechal al HaKadosh, samach l'shabbos, he should be mekabel tasef l'shabbos. So samach is a concept of a half an hour. The cases that I quoted, samach l'mincha gadala, samach l'mincha gatana, those are all dinim de rabbanan. Samach l'mincha gadala, samach l'mincha gatana, a half an hour before. Did they ever have samach that it means a half an hour on the level of the Raisa. So you look, the Ritva quotes a Ramban. We don't have this Ramban anywhere else in the Kisvei HaRamban, but the Ritva quotes a Ramban, the Ritva on Shavuos quotes a Ramban, that if a woman has a Vesus Kavua, so there's a Din of Prisha, the husband has to be Parish Meishtoi, Samach Levesto. So what is Samach Levesta? So we all know the Gemara, if the Vesus is, let's say, every 40 days at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 2 o'clock in the afternoon is Yom. So the whole Oynas HaVesus is Samach Levesta, the whole Yom. Then the Ramah quotes a Chumra on top of that, The on asmocha loynas haveses. The night before is also asa. So the Ritva says that's all midirabbanan. But if her regilus is every 40th day she has a riyas dam at 2 o'clock, so half an hour before that's samach levesta, that's prisha deraisa. The din of prisha deraisa is half an hour before. And the fact that you ask it, the whole oynas haveses, the whole yoma, the whole laila, whatever the riyah is expected, if the vesis falls out by yom, so you ask it the whole yom. Vesis falls out by laila, you ask it the whole laila. So the Ritva quotes the Ramban, that's only midirabbanan. But prisha samach levesta, the half an hour before the vesis, that's a din deraisa. So he says that samach is a concept that exists on the level of deraisa, and it means a half an hour before. So that's what this Rabbeinu Peretz seems to say. You have to be mekabel Tosefta Shabbos or Tosefta Yom Kippur 30 minutes before. 30 minutes before what? 30 minutes before Bein Hashmoshes. That's really a problem. In all the shuls, they daven mincha and erev Shabbos erev Yom Tov right before the Shkia. Right before the Shkia. So you can't. There's no time for Tosefta Shabbos. So after you finish mincha, then you mekabel Tosefta Shabbos. A lot of time you finish mincha, it's already after the Shkia. So you should really daven mincha so early in such a way that you finish the whole tefillah schol, you finish the davening half an hour before the Shkia. Half an hour before the Shkia. Or according to the Rav Lezer Mimitz, the author of the Yireim, is of the opinion that when we call Shkia, that's really Tzeisat Kochavim. And Bein Hashmoshes is the last 18 minutes before the Shkia. That's why the meaning in America is that the women bench licht 18 minutes before the Shkia. To be choshish for that, Rav Lezer Mimitz. The Shita Seireim is that 18 minutes before the Shkia is the Bein Hashmoshes. Nobody holds like that. The sun is still shining above the horizon. How can that be Bein Hashmoshes? It's a peledika, difficult Shita. But that's what the meaning is based on now. Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from, he remembered as a child, the women would always bench lift 30 minutes before the Shkia on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench lift 60 minutes before the Shkia. So he said, he asked as a child, why? Why is Yom Kippur different? Why is 60 minutes before? So the official explanation was, 30 minutes Tosef is for Malacha, 30 minutes Tosef is for the Chamisha Inuim. He said to him, it never made any sense. What do you mean? It's one Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, that's Mechayiv and the Chamisha Inuim and Asas B'Malacha. So what do you mean 30 minutes to surface for this and 30 minutes for that? The same 30 minutes is for everything. He says he didn't understand it, but that was the minute where he came from. The women would betch licht, mean that they would stop eating an hour before Shkia, an Erev Yom Kippur, and they would stop doing Malacha 30 minutes before the Shkia, and every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom Tov, Masit and Mechayil HaKadosh was 30 minutes. That was this Rabbeinu Peretz. That's what the Maimon Mordechai quotes is Rabbeinu Peretz, that the Sefer Shabbos should be 30 minutes before. So if a person really wants to be Machmir, he should be Choshish for Abzazim Mitz, that the last 18 minutes before the Shkia is Bein HaShmoshes, then you have to be a Moshe Mechol HaKadosh 30 minutes before 18 minutes. Wow. That's quite a Chumrah. That's a Chumrah on top of a Chumrah. But at least to be Mekabel to Sefer Shabbos, that's an Inyan, 30 minutes before the Shkia. Okay, maybe next week we'll leave that there. Maybe next week we'll start with the topic of when is Bein HaShmoshes? When exactly is Bein HaShmoshes? That's in Reish Samach Aleph. Maybe we'll get back to talk about Tosfos Kasha. The Tosfos in Tainus, Daf Yud Aleph, is bothered with the Kasha. This Gemara says in the middle of Pesachim in Mokum Shenagu that Bein HaShmoshes of Shivasa B'Tamis, Sam Gedalia, and Asar B'Tevis, you're permitted to eat. The Minhag HaOlam is that nobody eats. You wait till Tzeis HaKochavim. So Tosfos doesn't know why. Why do you wait? The Gemara says the fair is Bein HaShmoshes is Mutar. So the Bir HaGro gives an answer. So we'll have to believe that next week. We'll start from we didn't do fully, we have to do Simen Reish Samach. But maybe we'll start from Bein HaShmoshes and we'll get back to Simen Reish Samach. In this week's Sedra, you have the first time Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Nevuah. He's taking care of the sheep. And he sees the burning bush. He sees Hasneh Barabash, Hasneh Enenu Ukol. So there's a it says Hasneb Bo'er Bo'esh, it's on fire, but it doesn't get consumed. And then he says Madua La Yivar Hasneh, how come it's not getting consumed? So in the Psukim, the usage of the verb Livor Bo'er is used in two different ways. He says Hasneh Bo'er Bo'esh, it was burning, it was on fire, Hasneh, and then Ukal, but it doesn't get consumed. So why does this say Bo'er Bo'esh? Where it means that it's on fire. It doesn't mean it's not getting consumed, but it's on fire. Then he says, Madua la yivar hasneh. Why doesn't it get consumed? But it says it is boyer. So the verb livar is used in two different meanings. Sometimes it's used, why doesn't the fire consume it? And sometimes it's hasneh b'esh, it's on fire. It is on fire. So some point out, this is very interesting, Stam in Hilchos Shabbos. What's the definition of each one of the malachas? This is a modern question. What do you mean a definition? There are lamatas malachas. Chavish hazareh, because what do you need a definition? No. You have to have a sharp definition to know what's the malacha in order to know what's a tolda, what's similar, what's not similar. So it's interesting. This is a modern concept that you define your terms. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik gave shiur. So the first day when we were learning Gittin, he says, who's going to give me a definition of a shtar? He said, a get is a shtar. Who's going to give me a definition of a shtar? We didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, you go to college, the first thing you do, the first day of class, you have to define the terms that you're going to use. So you're going to use a term shtar. Give me a definition. What's a shtar? He gave us a definition. What's a shtaraya? Different opinions. What's a shtarkinyan? Giving definitions. So that's a modern thing that you have to define your terms. So the first one, the one who does a lot of work on this is the Eglital, Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer did a lot of work on all the malachas. So the first 15 malachas or so that he completed, he put in the Eglital. And the rest of them that he just began, he did a lot of work on all the malachas, that's in the Avnei Nezer. So he works a lot on what's the definition of each malacha. And he works a lot, he quotes a lot from the Baal HaTanya. In the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he gives definitions. So here there's happens to be a machlokes between the Baal HaTanya, that's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and Avnei Nezer, what's the definition of Maleches Havar? Let's say, what's the definition of Maleches Mechaber? Let's say you have a Bunsen burner, and you blow out the flame. So the gas is coming, and there's no flame. So strictly speaking, that's not called Mechaber Derais. That's Mechaber Derabana. Why? Mechaber Derais is only if there's a pechon. You create a pechon. If you plan to use the burnt wood, then it's a malacha tzricha legufa. If you don't plan to use the pechon, then you did a malacha, but it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. But if there is no pechon, let's say, mechaber gachela shel mateches, there's a metal is on fire, and you pour water on it, and then it's no longer on fire, but there is no pechon. When you have wooden logs and you put out the fire, then it's going to be a pechum. Then it's going to be a charred piece of wood. So whenever there's no pechum, there's no malacha of mechaber at all. So the definition of mechaber is when something is on fire and you put out the fire and you create a pechum. What's the definition of the malacha of havara? Does that have to do with the Baal HaTanya writes, when you cause something to catch flame, let's say you strike a match, or there is a fire and I throw a piece of paper into the fire. So I cause something to catch flame. Is it necessary that it should catch flame and get consumed? So he says, not necessary. Araya, let's say I throw a piece of metal into the fire and the metal starts to glow. So the Rambam says, if you heat metal till it glows, that's a malach of havara. That's a malach of havara, even though it doesn't get consumed at all. So the Baal HaTanya holds the definition of Havara is causing something to catch fire, even if nothing, no material, is going to get consumed. And the Eglital and the Avnei Nezer disagrees. He thinks that it's not so. He thinks, but a Gachela Shel Mateches is a Malach. He said, that's only a Tolda. For a Tolda, it's not bad. But for the Av Malacha, it's only the Av Malacha of Havara if the thing gets consumed. So if you could do such a shtick, I take a fire and I put the fire to a snare, and the snare is going to catch flame, but it's not going to get consumed. So he said, that'll only be a Tolda, it won't be an Av. It's only Av Malacha, it's only an Av Malacha if the thing is getting consumed. So that the psukim in today's sedra have the usage of the verb havara in both ways. In the first pasuk says, "Asne ba'ev ba'esh v'asne enen u'kol." It's not getting consumed, but it is on fire. So you said it's called bo'er, it's called havara, even though nothing is getting consumed. Then Moshe Rabbeinu sar liros madua le'yivar asne. How come it's not bo'er? He's using the verb livor in the sense of getting consumed. So the pasuk itself is a shtickle confusing. The verb is sometimes used in the sense of catching fire, sometimes used in the sense of getting consumed because it's on fire. So that's a question. What's obvious? What's told us? It's a big job. We have a lot to learn in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. So everyone should have a healthy week. And believe that next week we have our work set out for us. We have to start to discuss when is Bein Hashmashos.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Rav Schechter, I have two questions. One from me and one somebody asked me to ask you. So somebody asked me in Washington Heights to ask you whether it's permissible. She makes challah with chocolate chips, and she likes to put she wants to put the challah with chocolate chips on a hot plate on Shabbos, to the extent that the chocolate chips will melt. They'll become soft. So whether that's permissible or not, meaning she's afraid that maybe it's like a liquid. I told her that I'll ask you, but that my impression was that it's not a liquid unless it can be poured like water or oil or something like that.
Right. I think the Magen Avraham says that it depends what's the state in room temperature. If at room temperature, let's say sometimes you have schmaltz, so in the refrigerator, it'll be congealed. When you take it out and you leave it out for a couple of hours, it'll liquefy, it'll melt. So if at room temperature, it'll be a liquid, then it's dinuk a liquid, and then with machma, that yesh bishalah habishalak su. But if at room temperature, it'll still be a solid. If you warm it up a little bit, then it's going to liquefy. So then we treat it like a solid, and the din is ein bishalach habishal. The din is ein bishalach habishal. But if will it become yatzoledes though? If it becomes yatzoledes, then it's hachazara. If you put it on top of the element, so that's hachzara al gabi ha'ish. Then it's a din of hachazara. But if it's not going to become yatzoledes, then there's no issue of hachazor.
It's a hot plate without any knobs. It's not a blech. It's just a hot plate without any knobs.
You mean there's no way to make it high or low? It's either on or off.
Right.
So many Boston say a hot plate that's not adjustable is not included, was never included in the first place in the gzera of hachazor. Because the whole we Boston like this is, Hazar is not because of Bishal HaBishal, the Dirabbanan, but rather because of Shem Yechatim. So the Xerah Shem Yechatim is only applicable to Machloikis, but many of the recent Paschim are like that. The Xerah Shem Yechatim only applies if there's room to be Machatim. But if you can't, it's non-adjustable, it's either on or off. This, they were never Geyser that the person may turn it on and adjust. They're just afraid. If it's on already, he may poke around and make it higher or lower. So if there's no way to adjust it to make it higher or lower, some hold that it's still included in Hachazara, but there are many Amekel on that, but that's not included in Hachazara. Okay.
So then okay. I'll let her know. And then the second question is, this year, because of Corona, what should we do for Purim in terms of Mishloach Manos? Should we just try to give to one person minimum to fulfill the mitzvah? Or should we do our regular thing where we give many, many, many Shalach Manos to everybody?
Yeah, many, many, Mustama, many people are going to throw it out. So give one Shalach Manos to a person whom you know for sure is not going to throw it out. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. We should all be healthy.
Amen.
We should all have good health to discuss the Shaila and Purim.
Amen. Thank you.